Hello, I'm John Pellow, CEO of the Canadian Council of Christian Charities. Welcome to another podcast from my blog, Christian Leadership Reflections, which can be found at ccc.org in the News and Blogs section. Today's podcast is entitled Developing Values, Mission, and Vision for Christian Ministries. Here are a few considerations for developing the three major strategic statements I've previously described: values, mission, and vision, and some suggestions for how you can discern them in a God-honoring way that is faithful to your Christian identity. Values should be assessed on two levels. First, there are the biblical values that should be present in every Christian ministry, and then there are the other values held by the people called to serve together in one particular ministry. As an example of biblical values that might apply to your ministry, in the church at work I developed four biblical values related to relationships between ministries, which is the book's subject. The first one is love. In John 13:34-35, Jesus commanded his followers to love one another, and Paul affirms it in Romans 12:10. The second value is order. From Genesis to Revelation, we see that God is a God of order, not confusion. Paul's instruction in 1 Corinthians 14:40 and in 12:16 is that everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way, live in harmony with one another. A third value would be unity. Our God is one, and he is Lord of all. Christ is not divided, and neither should his church be divided. We see that in Ephesians 4:4-6 and in 1 Corinthians 1:13. And then the fourth value is voluntary mutual submission. We see voluntary mutual submission modeled in the life of Jesus in John 13:5-10, when he made himself a servant to his own followers, and voluntary mutual submission was made explicit by Paul in Ephesians 5:21. These values suggest a strategy of collaboration, consultation, and coordination with other ministries. Your Bible study could lead to a different set of values that are significant to your ministry. All biblical values apply to your ministry, but some are especially significant to your ministry's work and should become your organizational values. Whatever you do, don't try to make every value an organizational value, or you will just have a list of platitudes. Every ministry is expected to be honest, so unless lack of honesty has been a problem for your ministry, don't include it. Your particular corporate values can be developed by asking people associated with your ministry, both past and present, what they think the corporate values are. You might ask staff, what would cause them to raise or lower their pride in being associated with your ministry as a way of discovering the ministry's key values? Here's how I've asked about our four C's values in the survey that I did. Has an opening statement. We believe that before God has called four C's to do something, he has called us first to be a Christian ministry. How we do our work is arguably more important in God's eyes than the actual work we do. So before we get to God's purpose for four C's, we're going to explore the Christian values that we live by. As an example, I believe that we must demonstrate just as much care for the smallest ministry as we do for the largest. Jesus paid attention to everyone, and so must we. This is one question, but I will ask it several different ways to help you think about values from different angles. What values or aspects of four C's would you not be willing to sacrifice for the sake of our mission and identity? What would you not give up, regardless of what changes in society? What would you not give up even if we were penalized for holding those values or were put at a disadvantage because of them? Which corporate values would you keep even if they produced no tangible benefit to four C's? Now, to get to God's purpose, we're going to look first at God's call. Vision and mission come out of your understanding of God's purpose for your ministry. The starting place for discerning that purpose is to ask how people came to be associated with your ministry, since God calls people, not organizations. Ask them how your ministry fits their own personal call to ministry, and their answers will provide clues to God's intentions for the ministry. This information provides insight and context as you develop the strategic statements. But be careful how you ask about a personal call, because not everyone has had that experience. You don't want anyone to feel devalued or second class. They are faithfully serving the Lord as much as someone who has experienced a specific call. Here's how I asked it in the survey given to staff, directors, and corporate members. For most people, their association with 4Cs began because they felt they had gifts to contribute to a Christian ministry that they cared about. Some may have felt that their association fit well with a pre-existing call of God on their lives, or a call that they discerned when they discovered 4Cs. If you have a story to tell related to a sense of personal call to the ministry of 4Cs, please share it. I asked this question of the 4 senior leaders that we have had through our history. Myself, since I've been CEO since 2003, my predecessor Frank Luella, who was the first employee and executive director from 1983 to 2003, Ken Dick, who was the board chair from 1978 to 1985, at which time it was mostly a working board, and then our founder Ian Stanley, who was the board chair from 1972 to 1978. I also asked all current staff, board, and corporate members, and as many former board members as I could locate. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Vision or mission? Normally we expect to start with a goal, the vision, and then develop a means of achieving that goal, the mission. But when God calls people in the Bible, he calls them either to do a task, such as Paul, to proclaim Christ to the Gentiles, or to fulfill a role, such as Jeremiah being called as a prophet. I can't think of anyone called to fulfill a vision. I do know that when strategic planning starts, the priority at that point is the vision, the ultimate good you want to make real. In practice, however, developing your mission and vision statements will likely be an iterative process. You may start with one, which will shape the other. But then you start working on the other, and you start to refine whichever one you started with. It's a back-and-forth process. Don't get hung up on the order, just get it done. I asked the mission question this way in our survey. Here we get to the heart of what we are to do. To fulfill God's vision and purpose for 4Cs, what is our specific mission? The following questions, from a book called What to Ask the Person in the Mirror, will help us discern our mission. Why do you work or volunteer with 4Cs? When you could invest your time elsewhere, why do you invest it here? What do you love about 4Cs? What would you like to tell your grandchildren or extended family about why you served at 4Cs for such a long period of your life? What would you like 4Cs to look like in 10 years? What would you hope to say that it accomplished? What are the distinctive competencies of 4Cs? What would the world lose if it did not exist? Do you think God had any specific intentions for how we would operate or any conditions that he has set as boundaries? If so, please let us know what you think they are. And finally, we would like to know what your hopes and dreams are for the future of 4Cs. What are your aspirations for 4Cs? What hopes and dreams do you have for it? A vision statement always propels us towards the ideal. It should be aspirational, evocative, and highly emotional. Upon reading it, people should be inspired to join your cause, or at least say, "That's a great mission." A good vision statement will prevent the mission from being watered down to something more achievable. It helps people not settle for anything less than the way it should be. The vision needs to align both with whatever Scripture says that relates to your mission and vision, and also to your own core values. It needs to align with the activity of the Holy Spirit in this world. In our survey, we asked about vision this way. We believe that the Lord led Ian Stanley and his 6 friends to found 4Cs for God's own purposes. That means that we exist as part of the Christian ministry community in Canada, and that there is some particular way the Lord intends us to help the church fulfill its mission. Given that we are a support to frontline ministries, can you describe the difference that you think God created us to make? Another way to think about this is, what is God's vision for the state of Christian ministries in Canada that we will help him achieve? What are you seeing that God is up to that affects 4Cs? What shifts or trends do you see in Christian ministry that might affect our strategy? While your strategic statements should serve you well for many years at a time, your ministry is like a living organism that responds to the continuing work and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Over time, aspects of your mission may be accomplished, so you move on to something else. Also, over time, your staff and board may gain more insight into the possibilities for what might be, and the vision could become more detailed or more expansive. A new or revised vision could cause a review of the mission, and the mission might be redefined, tightened up, or expanded to better fit the vision. So don't change your strategic statements every year, but do be willing to change them as circumstances warrant. Blessings as you do your own strategic planning.